Hey, thanks so much for listening to this message. My name is Jason, and I'm one of the ministers here at the Madison Church of Christ. It's our hope and prayer that the teaching you hear today will bless your life and draw you closer to God. If you're ever in the Madison area, we'd love for you to stop by and study the Bible with us on Sundays at 5 p.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. If you have questions about the Bible or want to know more about the Madison Church, you can find us online at madisonchurch.org. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, as well as our sermons podcast, Madison Church of Christ Sermons. Thanks again for stopping by. I hope this study is a blessing to you.
So first we have Julie Graham, who's going to speak to us tonight. And she says, Bart has been my better half for almost 37 years. Our three kiddos are happily married. We have two grands already and three more on the way this year. One due in May and two more due in August. I did not realize that. Wow.
Christmas is
going to be crazy. Awesome. I'm a twice retired systems engineer. Once in the early 90s to stay home with the kids, and once again in 2021 after I had to return to engineering to pay for two in college at the same time. In between those jobs, I worked with Brandon and Jason as the youth admin for 10 years, and I'm currently working my dream job with Brandon and Andrew as the preaching admin and the church office manager. And she rocks it. Speak from experience. Okay, and then we have Miss Kathy Harless. She's married to Joe Harless, a.k.a. Mr. Joe. And she says, we have one adult son, Andrew Harless. I worked 40 years in the dental field, first as a dental assistant and the last 32 as a dental office manager. I've been retired a little over 3 years and absolutely love it. She had that in all caps. I grew up at Madison and have attended here most of my life. I love studying the Bible privately at church and in small groups. I appreciate the church activities and ministries that enable me to make new friends and treasure time with old friends. And we thank y'all so much for all the time you've put in to this, and I will turn it over to Julie.
All right, hey, good evening. Thank you for being out here on this nasty kind of evening. I appreciate y'all being here, and I've got my timer so that I don't step on Miss Kathy's time today. I want to thank Lori Ann and Cindy for asking me to speak tonight. I want to thank all the ladies that have spoken here before us tonight and shared their hearts with us this quarter. It's been a great study, and I just feel like very, very blessed to be a part of the sisterhood here at Madison. So when I received my invite to come speak to y'all, I knew immediately I wanted to speak about prayer and about how prayer especially the prayers of others have sustained our family over the years, and most especially recently. You know, if y'all have looked at the prayer list, I have a multiple number of folks on there, and I appreciate each and every one of y'all that has prayed for our family through all of the things that have been going on. To give you a little bit of a background, Bart and I became members here at Madison in 1995. We both came from very different denominational backgrounds. At that point, my prayer life was consisted of some, you know, memorized prayers, mealtime prayers, bedtime prayers, but they didn't have a lot of depth, and they didn't have the type of prayer that had a relationship involved with it. Things felt very surfacey. So I felt like I really needed to learn how to pray. So I went to that Bible man, and I looked at all of those gospels, and I saw I was going to use Jesus because he's the perfect example, right? So I looked at everything he did, and, you know, he prayed before major events and major miracles. He prayed for others. He prayed in solitude and often went off by himself and, you know, sometimes even prayed all night. And I thought, oh, wow, this is great. I got my template. I have my perfect example, you know, that engineering coming out, you know, I had my checklist, I was ready. And it should have been easy, right? Easy peasy. But that was not the case. That was wrong. I struggled to put prayer knowledge into practice, to make prayer a habit, a lifestyle, a priority. To say that my prayer life was inconsistent would have been very accurate. I had a relationship with God that was deeper than the surfacey one that I had when I became a Christian, but it was nowhere near the kind of relationship with God that I wanted. We were more than acquaintances, but we weren't besties. So I had more work to do. So I continued to read books on prayer. I tried all different kinds of prayer templates. You know, there's the ACTS template, you know, adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, supplication. There's the TACO method. You can do thanksgiving, adoration, contrition, and then pray for others and self. So these were all good practices, all good guidelines. I tried prayer journals and blessing jars and all different kinds of things, but I still struggled to find a rhythm. I would find a quiet place and start to pray, but soon after that, my mind would be wandering about the things that I had to do the next day. And I struggled. How was I supposed to pray without ceasing when I couldn't seem to focus for more than 5 or 10 minutes? And that seemed like an eternity. And, that was a struggle for me. It's really hard to have a relationship with someone that you don't talk to often. So I was in that boat. Too often I treated prayer as my last resort instead of a first priority. There is some scientific proof, you know, that people that may have some type A personality traits at times, people that like to fix things and make plans, you know, they struggle with this kind of situation, because I found out from study that my problem wasn't a lack of knowledge on how to pray. It was surrendering control and beginning to trust. That was my problem. So I knew I was going to have to start small on this journey to be able to pray without ceasing. So I found my starting point in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The New Living Translation puts it like this. It says, "Don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." This verse, you know, gave me hope. It put things into bite-sized pieces that I could digest and work on and get better at. I could do this. I didn't need lots of fancy words and fancy formats. I could just talk to God like I would carry on a conversation with a good friend. I didn't need hours to set aside, in a private place. I could pray in short bursts. I could pray while I was folding clothes or making lunch or driving, you know, just remember to keep those eyes open during those times. These short little prayers over time became more and more frequent, and I found that I could focus and pray for longer periods of time now without being distracted. That peace that was promised in Philippians, it came too. It was there, and I learned patience. To quote Miss Clara from the War Room movie, she says, "You need to beg God to do what only he can do, and then get out of his way and let him do it." And so this continual short bursts of prayer helped me to find that focus. And I learned that prayer isn't about being strong or getting stronger. It's about letting God be strong through you. And so that was something that that I really needed to hear and needed to kind of internalize. So this verse that's chosen up here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18, that middle verse, 17, is what I wanted to focus on, and it's pray without ceasing. But it's bookended by rejoice always and give thanks to God in all circumstances. And I've learned through this kind of journey that when we pray about everything, God does give us that peace, and that's that peace is what allows us to have joy, to be able to rejoice, to give thanks in all circumstances. So you can go on to slide 2. So what does it really mean to pray without ceasing? Did Paul really mean for the Thessalonians to be on their knees 24/7 in constant prayer? I don't think so. He knows that we all have lives and families and things that we have to do. But I think his instruction and the pattern he wanted us to set up is clear. He wants us to develop a lifestyle of persistent, regular prayer. And that persistent, regular prayer gives us a constant awareness of God's presence and the provision that he and the things that he provides in our lives. My intentional prayer times and my spontaneous prayers, they help to create a heart that could trust and depend on God and not on self. And when we invite God into our ordinary, everyday life, through frequent and heartfelt conversations, prayer becomes continuous. It becomes a rhythm, and it becomes a habit. We can go to God anytime, anywhere, and talk to him about anything. What a tremendous blessing that is. It doesn't have to be, it can be formal, but it doesn't have to be. God takes us where we are, and we can talk to him like a friend. And that was a great blessing to me to finally realize that. Yes, you already went on. Great. So what are some of the rewards that we get when we pray without ceasing? When you're constantly aware of God's presence through prayer and the studying of the scriptures, we get to stay spiritually grounded. We get to be centered in faith regardless of what's happening around us. That sense of connection can provide that peace and clarity that was promised there in Philippians chapter 4. Continually praying without ceasing reduces anxiety and stress. We get kind of a mental reset through prayer. We shift that focus away from worry, and we focus on trust and the things that God has already provided for us and how he has delivered in the past. And it reminds us that we're not alone when we deal with life's pressures. Praying without ceasing helps our decision making. A continual dialogue with God helps us to discern his will, especially, in our everyday choices. That connection helps us to foster sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's guidance, even in the small and mundane decisions that we have each and every day. And I can't wait to hear how the Holy Spirit's going to jump in here and help us with Miss Kathy's talk. It also improves relationships. When you're in constant prayer, you're more likely to respond to others with patience and grace and love. It helps keep our hearts soft and mindful of how our words and our actions affect others. Constant prayer builds gratitude. When you regularly talk to God, he keeps you aware of his blessings. Gratitude becomes a natural part of your mindset when you're always in communication with the one that provides you everything. And lastly, prayer gives us strength during temptation. Continuous prayer helps us to recognize and resist temptation and stay anchored in spiritual disciplines. So that brings us to why. Why should we pray consistently or without ceasing? I don't know if you guys have looked around at our culture and our world today, but it's evident we are in a spiritual battle. I think, Alyssa, you pointed out how that spiritual battle is real, and it can be all-encompassing at times. Evil is in our midst, and it's getting bolder and bolder each day. And it becomes harder with technology and all of the things that we have at our fingertips, it becomes harder to discern what real truth is, what the lies are, and what's a deep fake and what's true. And so we need to pray as never before for the hearts and minds of our kids and our grandkids. The second thing here is prayer shifts the focus from flesh to the spirit. I know Kathy's going to get into a lot about the Holy Spirit, but that we need that strength from the Holy Spirit to fight these spiritual battles with us. They're not things that we can win on our own. We need to be in constant prayer and tap into that the resources that the Holy Spirit provides. He indwells in us for a reason, and he's there to help us and guide us and put our knowledge into action and intercede for us on our behalf to the Father. So these are all great things. Prayer is our best defense against the schemes of the devil. I am so thankful that I believe it was last year that the elders decided that, you know, our focus for 2024 was going to be prayer, and we got to participate in shepherd-led prayer nights and in-home prayer gatherings. And, you know, it's not uncommon now to see people huddled up in prayer over something that is afflicting them at the moment. And I think that's such a blessing to have a community and people that we feel comfortable enough to ask for prayers with. Now that does require us to be transparent and share our burdens and our struggles, and that's a blessing too. It should be no surprise, Andrew was telling me today, that the fastest growing churches in the Brotherhood are those churches that focus on prayer. I mean, we have the greatest power source in the world to plug into, and it just seems intuitive that those that seek that communication and seek that guidance and seek that intercession and that guidance from the Holy Spirit are going to be the ones that are the most successful, most interested in outreach. I'm about out of time. But that's our biggest defense. There is going to be prayer. You can go on to the last one there. I certainly and by no means have this all figured out, and there are, you know, days and weeks that I am hot and cold, but my goal is to pray without ceasing. And so these are just a few things that I jotted down to kind of help you get started. If you too are struggling or needing, you know, just some prompts to get moving on your journey to pray without ceasing, start every day with a prayer, even before you get out of bed. Turn everyday moments into prayer prompts. You know, when you're doing the mundane tasks, take that opportunity to say a short prayer or turn on a podcast that has a spiritual theme or put on some praise music. Those are all ways that we can tie into tap into that power. Talk to God like he's a friend throughout the day. You don't have to have, you know, if you're led to have a specific prayer time and that helps you, that's wonderful. But a lot of times schedules, it's just when you can get it done. And it doesn't have to be super elaborate. You know, it's thank you for that parking space that you provided for me today, right here, right by the door when I needed it. Use scripture as your prayer prompts and prayer fuel. Worship and gratitude are all great catalysts to help you in your prayer life, and end the day with God. I have gone back to a prayer journal, so I have conquered that, and I find that to be very helpful to me, especially when you can look back and see all the prayers that are answered. That's a great way to do it. And also, I found that fasting is a great way to help you to focus that prayer time. That hunger, it reminds you, what you need to be praying about today if you're fasting for a specific reason or for a specific person. Those are all great ways that you can tap into that power. I thought this was a great graphic. When God's warriors go down on their knees, the battle is not over. It has just begun. And so I invite all of you guys to join me in the battle for the hearts and minds of our kids. And I can't wait to hear from Miss Kathy about how the Holy Spirit is going to help us with that.
Well, I hope he helps me with the mess.
I can feel him.
Okay, well, ditto on all that thankful stuff that Julie said. I'm not going to repeat all of that, thanking everybody. But I have some exciting news. It is amazing what God has done for us. So tonight, I want to talk about a special gift. And I had a friend advise me to bring a prop. If you've ever had a friend that just showed up with a gift, it was a special gift, not for anything in particular, but just because they loved you. And you're going, oh my goodness, oh, you're so excited and you're so grateful. And think about how that makes you feel and how you react, because we're going to come back to the gift later. Luke 2, verses 10 through 11. I can either read here or up there. That's awesome. And this is some great news, y'all. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." We're not talking little joy. "Great joy that will be for all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So this was the good news of Jesus coming in physical form. Then in John 16, verse 7, we read, "Nevertheless," this is Jesus talking, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him." Now this was the good news about Jesus coming in spirit form. Jesus at this time was with his apostles at the Passover supper just before he died. And they didn't understand why he was talking about this going away and everything, because they thought they were going to have some kind of a physical kingdom. So now he's saying he's going to go away, and they're all confused. Jesus is trying to reassure them. And he says it will be better if he goes away. And then he would send his Holy Spirit. So this verse intrigued me. I was thinking, why is the Holy Spirit better than Jesus standing right here beside me? How could that be? And I'm sure that's what the apostles were thinking also. So Jesus tried to explain that in his physical form, he could only be in one place at a time with a limited number of people. But because of the omnipresence of God in the spiritual form, he was telling them that he could be with all of them all the time, wherever they went. He would strengthen, encourage, give correction, give them wisdom, give joy in their persecution, purpose in their mission, and peace in their trials. In the spirit form, there was literally no limit to the presence that he could have in their lives. He was telling them that the Spirit inside of them would be a greater help than he could be standing right beside them. Now that is a powerful presence. In Acts 2, verses 38 through 39, now this is after the apostles have received the Holy Spirit and Peter is preaching. And he says to them, after he's cut them to their heart, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Now, y'all, this is a promise that was made to everyone. That means all of you have received this promise. That is a very special gift. So I want to tell you a story of an example of a man whom I know who received this gift and how the gift made a difference in his life. This man's name was Jack. When I first met Jack years ago, well, let me just say, he was the type of person probably none of us would want to be hanging around. But several years later, our paths crossed again. And I immediately noticed something different about him. There was something about the way he carried himself, something about the smile on his face that was different. When he greeted me, words of joy and blessing came out of his mouth. He was actually praising God for the beautiful day. He even asked me if I knew Jesus. As our conversation progressed, he revealed to me his story of repentance and turning to God. This man exuded joy, purpose, and peace. He was literally talking and walking his story wherever he went. I had never seen someone so excited to be a child of God in my life. Now, that day I was pretty impressed, but I had no idea what an impact this would make on my life. Let's look at some verses in Romans that had affected Jack's life. Romans 8, 1 through 2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Jack found joy. He was no longer condemned, but he was set free from sin and death. In Romans 8, 28, it reads, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Jack found purpose. He was called to daily glorify God. In Romans 8, 38 through 39, it says, "For I am sure," there's a list now, ladies, "that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jack had found peace. He knew that nothing could separate him from God's love. Jack had claimed the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. Jack made a huge impact on me that day. I began to think that perhaps I was missing out on this power that Jesus had promised me in the form of his Holy Spirit. I realized that I wanted praising God to become my joy. I wanted God's purpose for me to be clear. I wanted God's peace to become my daily cloak. I wanted Bible study to become my heart's desire. And I wanted to take action to attain that same joy, purpose, and peace that I saw in Jack. I started studying about the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at a couple of those verses. In Ephesians 1, verses 13 through 14, it says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 21 through 22, "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." So let's review these two verses. God's Spirit was given to us as a seal. That means it's a seal. It is sealed for our salvation, and the Spirit is called the guarantee of our inheritance. Because of these guarantees from God through His Spirit, this became my great joy, praising God for my salvation. In Galatians 3, verses 26 through 27, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God. And I want to pause here a second, because we're sons of God also. In the Testament, in the New Testament time, it was only sons that had inheritance. But we've all become the beneficiary of the inheritance. So we are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What an epiphany. When God looks at me, He sees Jesus. When I put Him on in baptism, He clothed me with His righteousness. And He gave me the gift of His Holy Spirit. Because Jesus lives in me, I have purpose. I live to praise and glorify God for His goodness. In 1 Peter 1, verses 15 through 16, it says, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Do you really think that's possible? God actually made me holy. He made me holy so He could live inside of me. This is possible only because Jesus' righteousness fills me and clothes me because of His death and resurrection. And because His holiness is inside me, I have peace. I know we've all been studying Galatians, but we're going to do a repeat of the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 through 23, we see ways that the Spirit can be manifested in our lives. The first three are inner. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Then because we develop those characteristics, we can be outwardly patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and that ever pesky self-control we strive with every single day. The order of this list shows the importance of love. Love is the first attribute. It is necessary that we grow in love to attain these other attributes. Everything builds on love. As we grow in our relationship with God, we cultivate that inner love, joy, and peace. And this results in outward expressions of love in our interactions with others. Love is reflected in our behavior. So, how can this look in my life? I want to attain these attributes. Every morning, you can do the picture. Yeah, there we go. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me today, attune my spirit with you. Just a brief little prayer to help begin your day. Invite Him into your day. Commune with God daily through study and prayer. Strive to speak only uplifting, life-giving words to others. To encourage people who need encouragement. We need to look for opportunities to show God's love to others, and we can do that with our time. We can send cards. We can give a special gift. We can take a meal or just lend a helping hand. We can also try not to pass judgment on others, but to be an example of God's grace. We need to assume the best of others. And the hardest one of all, in Madison, be patient in traffic. We need to give that person the benefit of the doubt that just cut us off. Something must be going on in their life. We need to see and acknowledge the struggles of others. We need to pray for those with whom we disagree and not get angry, but to show patience and respect toward them. See them as more important than yourself. We should strive, even though it's very hard sometimes, to forgive when you've been mistreated or even perceive a mistreatment. Because, you know, a lot of times we perceive something, but it can be unintentional. Or there may be a situation in that person's life of which we're unaware that's causing them stress. And lastly, and the best reason of all, is because God has forgiven me. I pray that God will help me count my trials for joy, because God is using them to refine me. And to realize that those trials draw me closer to Him. I need to have confidence that God's plan is best for my life, better than my plans. To try to do everything that I do to honor and glorify God and not for the approval of others. I want God to open my eyes and help me see others the way He sees them, because they are as important to God as I am. And ladies, this is very important. We must seek out friends who have also put God first in their life. These friends provide encouragement, positive support, edification in our spiritual growth, and accountability in our actions. I believe that God used Jack that day to initiate a change in me. So now go back to this gift. There He is, God's Holy Spirit. How will you respond to Him? What difference will you allow Him to make in your life? God wants to see the joy that His gift brings to you. Ladies, open that gift and allow Him to work in your life. And I want to close with a verse of praise, and believe it or not, it's in the book of Jude. Jude, verses, it's only one chapter, verses 24 through 25. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. We're going back to the beginning. It was all great joy. To the only God, to our Savior through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. All glory to God. He is able to keep me from falling away. And it will give Him great joy to bring me into His glorious presence without a single fault. So girls, claim your gift and ask God to fill your life with joy, purpose, and peace.
Ooh, I did not want that to end. I needed that. Thank y'all so much for all the time and wisdom you put into that. It shows, and we just appreciate God speaking through you, and that was wonderful. And it's amazing how y'all both decided on two topics that just go hand in hand. He always does that. It's so cool. We're going to sing this song. Yeah, I know. We're going to sing this song together, and then we'll be dismissed.
As the mountains surround